Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel lesson stops a little too soon today, so I invite you to turn to page 1097 in your pew Bibles so we can read the rest of what's happened. I alluded to what happened in a children's sermon. We heard about Jesus going to the pool of Bethzatha and healing a man who'd been ill, laying on a mat for 38 years. The man saying, when Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" saying that I couldn't get down there to the pool. Someone always gets ahead of me. And Jesus goes ahead and heals him, and the man gets up and walks. So we're in chapter 5 in the Gospel of John, page 1097. Chapter 5, we'll start there at verse 10. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat," because no work was allowed to be done on the Sabbath. It was a Jewish law. But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" The Jewish authorities asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing more worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. I dare say this man is probably one of the most ungrateful recipients of a healing ever. He gets healed. He takes his mat and he walks away. He doesn't even ask Jesus, "Who are you?" And when he's asked by the authorities, the Jewish authorities of the day, probably the Pharisees, he just immediately blames Jesus. "The guy that healed me told me to take my mat up and walk. I wouldn't be, you know, going against the Jewish laws unless this guy had told me. It's his fault." Jesus had healed him after 38 years of laying on a mat. And this guy has the audacity to blame him? And it doesn't stop there. When he sees Jesus again and finds out who he is, he goes back to the authorities and tells them exactly who had healed him. It was that guy, Jesus. And then that's when the Jews start persecuting Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. So Jesus heals this man after being on a mat for 38 years, not able to get into the pool. And all this guy does, doesn't ask Jesus his name, goes and finds out, and then goes and turns him in to the Jewish authorities. What kind of healing is that? I would dare say this man hasn't been healed at all. He's still selfish, he's still greedy, and he's still looking out for himself and himself alone. Sure, he can walk. But even Jesus says to him, "Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." In my mind, this man is in his own living hell if he's just turned Jesus over to the authorities to be persecuted and no healing has really happened. Do you want to be healed? This man doesn't say yes. He plays the victim. Do you want to be healed? Or do you want to sit by the pool of Bethzatha where you've come to know everybody around you and be pretty comfortable there on your mat? Do you want to be healed? Or are you more like that fabled frog in tepid water? You probably heard the fable, if you throw a frog in boiling water, it'll jump out. But if you slowly heat up water that you've already placed a frog in and slowly, slowly raise the temperature to boiling, the frog won't jump out because it's become so accustomed to being in the water. It's actually not scientifically true. a frog will jump out once the water gets to a certain temperature. But it's an excellent fable. And I think applies to us in so many ways. Because perhaps we are in that tepid water. Perhaps we don't notice the small ways that we are maybe not so concerned about our neighbors, but are more concerned about ourselves. But then the water starts to heat up just a little bit. And it starts to affect our lives more and more, that all we can see is ourselves and how we're going needing to get ahead, or how we can't possibly be concerned about our neighbor because, you know, we're in water that's heating up. And so the water gets so hot, but we don't even realize it. We're in so deep, we're so concerned about ourselves and our own well-being that we don't even see our neighbors anymore. It seemed to me pretty evident this past week when a Lutheran pastor, Pastor Betty Rendon, who was an immigrant from the country of Colombia, was arrested by ICE and is going to be deported this Tuesday back to her country of Colombia. She came here in 2004 fleeing for her life from her home country of Colombia, where she'd been a school principal. And the kids in her school, the rebels there wanted to recruit the kids to be part of the rebel resistance army there, and she wouldn't let them. So they threatened her life and her family's life, and she fled here on a travel visa and then applied for asylum in our country, but was denied asylum because she didn't have hard evidence that she was being persecuted. And so stayed here with her husband and her daughter and her granddaughter who was born here. And then on May 7th, ICE agents pulled her daughter over as she was driving her kindergarten daughter to school, arrested her daughter, who is protected actually by the DACA program in our country, but arrested her anyway. And they had her drive with the ICE agents back to her mother and father's home, where they arrested at gunpoint Pastor Betty Rendon, who was serving a congregation in Racine, Wisconsin. I don't know, the water feels like it's getting pretty hot. And there were 65 letters written that her lawyers, Betty Rendon's lawyers, submitted to the judge. 65 letters of support from her congregation, from people all over this country, with more than 15,000 signatures asking for a stay. And it was denied. Letters have been written, lawyers have been contacted, and yet she and her husband and her cousin are being deported on Tuesday. The water's boiling. Do you want to be healed? I am not sure we do. And then we have a text today from Revelation that paints this amazing, beautiful picture of life with God, of this beautiful city, this new Jerusalem, where the streets, we didn't read that verse in this text, but the streets are paved with gold. There's no need of sun or moon because the light is from the Lamb of God. The gates are open. There is beloved community. No abomination and no corruption is found there. Where is this place? Please get me out of the boiling water so I may go there. It is not some distant place. It is not heaven. What John is saying in this Revelation text, the writer of Revelation, John of Patmos, I believe is saying is it's our choice. We can create here with God this beloved community here and now. We can have the water of life and the tree of life flowing through this beautiful city, but it is our choice. We've got to jump out of that boiling water and we've got to care better for one another. Do you want to be healed? I don't think the man at the pool of Siloam really wanted to be healed. I don't think many people that I'm encountering in my life these days do either. White people, the majority of us here, I don't think we want to be healed. I know so many people who don't even want to see or acknowledge the privilege we have over and against people of color. No healing, please. I don't think people who are anti-gay and lesbian really want to be healed either. I think they just want to stand on their own comfort of being heterosexual, the norm in our society. I don't think people who are anti-poor want to be healed either. I think they want to stand on their incomes and look down on people who are simply trying to scrape by. I don't think people who are misogynistic want to be healed, who are anti-woman. And I really don't think we want to be healed because we deny we're culpable. We have plenty of excuses for continuing on in the way we are. We defend ourselves to the hilt. And we certainly like to blame somebody else, just like the man at the pool. It was Jesus who made me do it. And when we choose not to be healed, we will never realize the vision in Revelation, because we practice abomination or falsehood. And that is not allowed in the city of God, in the New Jerusalem. And yet, Jesus heals anyway. Jesus heals us anyway. He goes to the cross, persecuted by us, just like he was persecuted by the man lying there for 38 years. He goes because of our unwillingness to jump out of the boiling water, of our unwillingness to be healed. So what does Jesus do? Jesus becomes broken. He becomes just like us, so that we can be healed. Come today to drink his spilt blood, to eat his broken body. He made it so for you, asking again and again and again, do you want to be healed in the deepest part of your very being? Though you may resist, he will always, always offer it to you again and again and again, offering you healing and new life in and through his own broken body. Will you come broken open to receive Christ's healing power? Jump out of the water, people. Amen.